We'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Thank you. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We will be meeting for an hour and a half, and we will have three speakers tonight on the topic, Rewards in All Aspects of My Life, A Lesson in Acceptance, followed by a question and answer session. Okay, so tonight I have asked Candace if she would go ahead and unmute herself and read our preamble for tonight.
Hi, I'm Candace. The suggested preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic.
Thank you, Candace. And I've asked Bev if she would read the workshop opening for tonight.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bev, a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon Family Groups. Although some service roles have titles and job descriptions that might intimidate some, the people who fill those roles have endured the problems of alcoholism just as we have. Yet they are proof that Al-Anon is a program of self-discovery and personal growth. Participating in service projects with them can be an inspiring opportunity to get to know them at a different level and learn that we also have great potential for personal growth. Probably most everyone was at least a little reluctant to take on a first service project or position. We are often unsure of our abilities and afraid of the commitment. If we haven't yet engaged in service, it's easy to think of all the reasons in the world why we shouldn't. However, the magic of Al-Anon service lies in benefits that we cannot anticipate before we've actually done any service. Those of us involved in service are grateful because it will boost our self-confidence and self-esteem, which some of us experience as an unanticipated miracle. That's why many of us look back at our early service work and consider it a gift from a higher power. Members who haven't yet participated in service can't yet imagine feeling this way. Often those of us affected by alcoholism have a tendency to isolate ourselves from others. We may be afraid or unwilling to request help. Recovery in Al-Anon is all about reaching out for help, and service is no exception. If our sponsor is active in service, we can ask for assistance. If not, we may wish to find a service sponsor who can guide us. By asking for help in service, we again move toward healthy relationships and away from the outdated thinking that tells us we have to do everything on our own. No one has to do it alone. Al-Anon service is a team effort working for shared spiritual purpose. As our self-esteem increases from the growth we experience in service, we are better able to take home our renewed feelings of confidence and be better partners in our relationships. We also discover that we are capable of learning healthy forms of conflict resolution, which we can also apply to our relationships. It's impossible to think ourselves into recovery. We have to take action to learn and experience different behaviors. Through our willingness to participate in service, we open ourselves up to new growth and the opportunity to learn new interpersonal skills. This will help us build healthy relationships both inside and outside the fellowship. And that is from Discovering Choices, pages 244 to 245.
Thanks, Bev. And the copyright is Al-Anon Family Groups, Headquarters Incorporated. Tonight, I've asked Beth if she would read the August reading, which is A Lesson in Acceptance.
Thank you. My name is Beth. August reading, A Lesson in Acceptance.
A recent brief encounter in service reminded me of the far-reaching benefits of practicing acceptance in my life. I answered a call to our information service from a man obviously agitated and confused, wanting to attend his first Al-Anon meeting as soon as possible. He stated preferences for the location and makeup of the meeting that made it clear to me I had little in common with him, except, of course, the experience of having been affected by someone else's drinking. While talking with the caller, I had a vivid realization that my personal reaction to his preferences was not affecting my response to his call for help. I accepted my internal reaction as valid for myself, and I accepted his particular request as useful for guiding him to a meeting where he might feel most comfortable. More important, I accepted the fact that I was talking with a person feeling tremendous pain. While I haven't known the same circumstances he reported, I've known the turmoil resulting from them. Despite the superficial differences, I recognized his quandary. We shared a common bond. We had both been affected by someone else's drinking. The effects of my brief encounter with this harried newcomer stuck with me and seemed to spill over into other areas of my life. I realized that responding to calls for Al-Anon information had increased my ability to listen to others and to stay focused on our common ground. Along with increased self-acceptance, I found common ground with acquaintances and coworkers more easily than usual. The conscious effort I'd made to practice acceptance during a 2-minute telephone conversation had a far-reaching effect on the rest of my day. I was able to focus on common tasks without being distracted by individual differences in personality or opinion. With gratitude, I noticed that those around me seemed to concentrate on simply doing the best they could without glorifying their successes or justifying their failures. My encounter with this troubled newcomer was a good illustration of the way the rewards service can spread into other areas of my life. A dash of acceptance added through the grace of a higher power can unexpectedly spread color to all aspects of my life. I ask myself, what lessons of service have I applied to my life? And that's from When I Got Busy, I Got Better, pages 28 through 29. Copyright Al-Anon Family Groups Headquarters, Inc., 1994.
Thank you, Beth. So each of our three panelists will share for 15 minutes, and the rest of the time will be used for your questions and possibly some brief shares. So remember, any sharings are solely the opinion of the member and not that of the Arizona area or Al-Anon as a whole. So tonight, I'd like to go ahead and introduce our first speaker, and that is Pam C. from Mesa, Arizona. You want to go ahead and unmute Pam and start your share?
I would. So I hope that, it seems like it's going fast. I was trying to time myself. So just give me when it's time, 2 minutes before, okay? All right. So I think what I'd like to say, I'm Pam C. And I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon as a whole and ALA team. And I also wanted to thank Maureen for giving me the opportunity and the committee to share tonight my experience, strength, and hope. So one of the things I was thinking about in terms of this talk was how initially when I first started coming to the rooms, I had been leery about the whole thing. And of course, was fearful because I thought that I didn't really want to pick up the spiritual kinds of tools that they talked about here. And so I balked and I was stubborn and I didn't want to do what was suggested to me, even though I saw that it was working in other people's lives. So I thought, well, maybe what I could do is just follow some of what they're talking about and just not do all of it. And of course, that didn't serve me well, and I got nowhere, and it was futile. And when I talked to my sponsor about it, she just said, are you willing to believe in a power greater than yourself? And so that's what I kind of was thinking about in terms of service. So you know, I eventually surrendered, and I eventually saw the need to, you know, do all the steps. And right away after I did step three and step, step two and step three, I just followed through with the rest of the program. I was no longer balking, and I was more open-minded and honest and willing. But when it came to service, I was willing to sponsor. I was willing to share my story, or, you know, my experience and all of that. And I was willing to do the minor tasks and meetings. I was willing to chair. But when it went beyond that, I was only willing to do so, certain things. So, like, for example, behind the scenes at a banquet, or maybe co-chairing a banquet, but not necessarily any service positions. And I remember one of my sponsor suggested that I should do this rather strongly, and she was kind of a rigid type person. I remember balking at it. And anytime she made a suggestion, I, you know, just wasn't there. You know, I wasn't going to follow through with what she was asking of me. And yet there was another person at the same time who was real gentle and very calmly asked me, well, would you be willing to co-chair a picnic with me? And I said, sure. And then I looked at my sponsor and I said, but don't be getting any ideas. I'm not going to, you know, be willing to do anything else. So I did that particular service position. And then at about the same time, another member suggested that I might want to get the book, When I Get Busy, I get Better. And I did that. And soon after that, then I just sort of fell into service. So the next thing that happened was I was doing public outreach for the district. And I found that, you know, it did amaze me that when I asked people, well, how many postcards should I send out to the police department or whatever I asked her about, she would always say, well, how many do you think? And it almost seemed like, well, I have the answers, I guess. She doesn't think that I need to consult her. And it was really kind of cool, because I probably looked on it as before as, well, I don't know the answers to these things. So, you know, I don't have the ability to do this position very well. And so I grew to understand that, you know, yes, you can ask questions, but you have the talent and the skill too, to be able to make decisions and to be able to follow through with some of these responsibilities. And anyway, I continued to do more service positions. And as a result of those kinds of things, I've had some experiences where I've learned that it's okay to make mistakes. I've been able to ask for help from others more readily. I navigated getting onto Zoom and all of that, those things over the last couple of years, you know, being a district rep. But as far as like screen sharing, that wasn't one of my fortes. But then, you know, I was able to do it occasionally, but somebody said, well, why don't you just ask so-and-so to do it? You know, she has the ability to do that without any difficulty. And I started recognizing that it was okay to do that. And I've had some experience too, where I've had to deal with people in relationships where maybe it's kind of like a spiritual sandpaper type of situation. And maybe they don't agree with me, or maybe, it's an issue of they become volatile for whatever reason. And in those situations, I've recognized I don't have to react. I don't have to give them the power over me to have a resentment, to lose control. I can just calmly deal with those situations and respond if necessary or not, you know. And some of those times, you know, I've gone away from those situations and talked to my sponsor, and she has shared, you know, some things with me that have been helpful, such as maybe that person's having a really tough time, and maybe we can learn to be compassionate to people in those situations. And so that was a gift, because, you know, I recognize when I'm working this program that I'm not perfect at it all of the time. And so, you know, the same is true for all of us, that we're all equals and we're all human and we all have flaws and it's okay. You know, if someone has some difficulties, it's okay for me to be able to be respectful of them regardless. And sometimes, you know, prayers for me, and I may have to pray about that person at first, maybe because of something that, you know, was an issue like a resentment. But for the most part, there's been other times where I've been in complete peace and felt God's presence, just overwhelming presence in that moment. And I've not had to like feel any anger or resentment. And I think those are just me being able to grow in this program and realize that, you know, each person comes with their own set of baggage, and they may not necessarily be angry at me, but it's circumstance that's going on in their life. But whatever the case is, it's not something I have to get frustrated about necessarily. And I'm grateful for that gift. I don't know, you know, how that really happened, but I think it's just a culmination of all of the gifts that were given in this program, working the steps, working the traditions and the concepts, you know, picking up our literature, talking to our sponsor. And all of those things have shown me that I don't have to necessarily let those things get to me. And so one of the things, I guess, that was kind of a interesting result of some of those questions that you asked us was that I started feeling some fear and anxiety. I wasn't sure why, but I suddenly realized it was because the questions. I tend to be like the type of person who, when presented with an exam, if it's multiple choice or something, or, you know, different questions, I can get all in a tizzy about something. And, you know, my roommates used to say, well, you know, it's right there in the book. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. It's going to be easy, you know, to do. But I can get into this perfectionistic state of, you know, oh, it may not be the right answer, or I'm not going to measure up. It's not going to be good enough. And so then, you know, I recognized I was doing that the other day, and I was like, whoa, this is kind of a gift too that I've been given, because it was like gold. You know, I was able to pick up my Courage to Change, and there was a page in there under character assets and defects that mentioned that one of the things we can do if we start doing negative self-talk is we can look at our assets. And then I had the opportunity to be sponsoring someone and meeting with her, and she was doing something similar to that, you know, where she was getting into some negative self-talk. So I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool, because I have something I can share with you that, you know, I don't even think I did the assignment. It's suggested in this page to go ahead and write down the 10 or 5 or 10 good things about yourself. But I knew my higher power has my back. And I know that I have, you know, these positive traits and characteristics that I can, you know, see those in myself. So I know that my higher power loves me just as I am, limitations, flaws and all. And I can then transmit that to others. You know, I can love them where they are, you know, not just the people I sponsor, but other people who I come into contact with in our relationships of working with others. There was also another thing I was thinking about in terms of this discussion today, and that was the mistakes that I made early on, where, you know, someone else in a service position that had questions and kind of really was coming to me a lot, asking me for help with literature. Like, she wasn't sure, like, really what to buy, when to buy it, da 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 da. And instead of defining the responsibility and just saying, you know, this is what you need to do, I kept answering all those questions. So then the next person comes along to do the literature position. She asks me initially some of those things, and I guess I defined it pretty clearly to her. And then she comes to me later and says to me, you know, I really just wanted to let you know that I didn't appreciate that you were telling me how to do the job that you gave me. You know, and basically, I guess I was repeating to her, you know, this is what you need to do, which she already knew what books to buy, to look to see what's, you know, necessary to purchase. And I was doing the same thing that this other person seemed like they wanted. And it was a learning, you know, curve. I just, you know, didn't see that, whoa, this is something that she didn't need. And she was able to come to me, thankfully, and tell me exactly what she needed from me. And that she didn't really, you know, I guess her, you know, it was triggering her in terms of some of the things that she dealt with in her life. And, you know, I learned from that. It was a lesson for me. And so I grew in understanding that I don't need to be letting people know about, you know, breaking down their responsibilities. If I've told them once, you know, once is enough. They can come to me with questions if they have them. And let's see, how am I doing on time?
You've got about 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. So I think that the grace that I've been given as a result of doing the steps is that I'm working on growing to be more thoughtful and humble and to see people as equals, like I said before. And as a result of that, I think we all deserve respect. We all are, you know, in a place where we come together because we all have issues or problems that we were affected by the disease of alcoholism. And I just hope that, you know, I can be unconditionally loving to some of those people some of the time, because I know that that's been done for me. You know, people here loved me when I wasn't lovable, and they've shown me gifts of self-esteem through their doing service. And that's why I guess I brought that up earlier and I forgot to touch on this, is that I wanted what they had. I wanted what people had before when I hadn't applied, you know, the second and third step in my life yet. And then when I saw people in service, I saw what they had and I wanted that too. I've grown because of that in accepting others. I've grown in accepting myself. I've also grown in my self-esteem as a result of doing all the responsibilities that I've had. And, you know, once you've tapped into this resource of being able to do service, it's just an outgrowth of the whole message of wanting to be there for the newcomer. And I'm just grateful for that. I'm grateful, you know, that I've been shown this and that I've been given this opportunity. So I hope to do more service in the future. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Pam. That was great. Thanks for sharing your gifts that you learned from service with us tonight. So our next speaker is going to be Margaret from Nebraska. And Margaret is a delegate from Nebraska right now. And if you want to go ahead and unmute and do your share. Thanks, Margaret.
Hey, thanks, Maureen. Hi, everyone. My name is Margaret, and I am a very grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon. Thanks, Maureen, and the committee. I appreciate being able to share with you. I'm grateful when I can hopefully share some experience, strength, and hope that might help others. I looked up what acceptance, the definition of acceptance is, and it's the action of consenting to receive or undertake something of something offered. And, you know, I thought of that, and, you know, that to me is what Al-Anon is about. I was fortunate enough that the first group that I was in, they believed in service. I was with them for 3 months, and I was appointed the literature person and make sure literature and table was everything that was set up. And, you know, even that small task then gave me a little bit of self-esteem to do that. And, you know, I've gotten just a lot of self-esteem and self-worth out of doing service. I have a great sponsor that today that gets me into service. But you know what? When I, the first group that I had, I wanted to get service because I seen what everybody had. Like Pam said, I wanted what they had. And what I found out by doing service was that I had fun. I got to meet new people. I got to be able to learn more about other groups and how they work and how fortunate we are to live in a place where we have several meetings a week and you don't have to go to just one meeting. You know, I got so much flexibility that, you know, I learned that I have a right to state my opinion, and it's not right or wrong. It's just what it is. And if I'm going to make a mistake, I want to make it in Al-Anon because nobody throws tomatoes. So that makes it even better. I just enjoy service so much. I didn't ever think I'd get comfortable at it. I know that the first time I chaired the meetings, and I think I shook and tremored the whole year that I did that in. And I didn't ever think it would get to a point where I would have enough confidence to be able to do that without showing so much fear. And I have lost a lot of fear because of the service I have, because it not only gives you confidence, it encourages you and to have the courage to stand up for a program that has given me so much, and that I feel sometimes that I am a member of Al-Anon. I'm responsible for speaking up sometimes if no one else does. And that's what service has given me. And I do not judge people as much as I did. I do share if asked. I do a lot more listening than I ever thought that I would. And in service, it just kind of grows on you a little bit at a time. But, you know, the enjoyment of sharing this program with people and helping them develop or get through something, I enjoy helping people. I enjoy showing them how to do something within this program. It doesn't mean that I'm, directing them and telling them they have to do that. And because of that, I've also been able to let go of things and give direction, to be able to to be able to give people a position or a job. And like Pam said, you just sit back and you allow them to do that, because that's how I learned. I made mistakes and I learned that it's okay. And that's how I learned to correct things, and that I can give people positions or jobs to do that I don't have to do at all. But I also know in this program that I'm not alone. And, if I am doing something wrong, I almost expect somebody to come up and say, well, we need to talk about this, because nobody comes up and points their finger at you and yells at you, which is another good positive in this program. And, it has been such a blessing in my life to be able to learn so much, which I didn't think I had the capability of doing. But, you know, I can give this back to people by sharing, or if people ask questions, to give that back, because it's not doing any good in my mind. That's all I have to say. And it has been such a building process, and this program takes time. And what I like about it is that you don't have to do everything at once. And as you go along, it builds. And the more that I did in the program, I was literature coordinator at least a couple of times, and district representative. I learned so much from that position, and being able to hold a meeting inventory. You know, I learned there that I had no interest in that meeting. It wasn't mine. But the people that was there, you could tell the people that were, I want it my way. And, you know, I'm able to listen today and try to pick that out and to say, okay, I need to know, I can't judge people for who they are because I don't know who they are. And I don't know what roads they've walked down. And I try to remember that if somebody's having a bad day, especially at work or something, that, I don't know, maybe something happened that started them off on the same, on the wrong path, or, you know, maybe they overslept, who knows. But, you know, I try to cheer people up a lot. And, you know, I wouldn't do that if I didn't know you. But I try to be courteous and understanding. And with God's help, and the people of the program and my sponsor and the traditions and steps and concepts, you know, through service, I've worked a lot of that in my personal life. The biggest one for me is principles above personalities. And I sometimes have a big problem with that. But when it works, it works. And, you know, I talk to my sponsor a lot about things that happen, you know, every day. And I love the tradition that says we're self-supporting. You know, some people don't understand that. And, you know, today I know what that means in my life, not only in my personal life, but otherwise. And, you know, trying to work these principles in our lives can be difficult. But, you know, the thing that I've found that in this program, things are easy if you allow people to help you and allow things to work through God, at least for myself. I try to take God with me every morning because he's the only one that knows which way to go. And I don't have all the answers. And I got to tell you, he has opened my mind. He's opened my heart. I'm able to see things and to listen to things more than I ever have in my life. And, you know, it gives me the ability to be able to work my program every day, to listen to the people around me and not just listen to what they're saying, but maybe what they're intending to say. And I have such a, today I have a positive attitude. I mean, before I could tell you, before the program, I was so down, it didn't matter. But service has helped me with that as well. Because when I'm in service, people encourage you. And they help you, and they give you a hand. And that's what I try to do in all areas of my life today, is to help people if I can, to encourage them to try something they maybe never tried before. Because I never would have thought that I'd be a delegate, and here I am. And the people in my state have the confidence that I can do this job and do it to the best of my ability. And, you know, once again, I've never had any tomatoes thrown at me or eggs. So I feel, you know, I guess I must be doing all right. I don't grade myself. And the biggest part of this is I get to learn every day. And this program teaches me that I learn, and it doesn't stop. And it's just, for me, exciting. It's exciting to be in service. It's exciting to meet new people, the people that I've met around the country. You know, when I went to the First International in Baltimore, and, you know, we got to meet people from, Scotland. There was people from Ireland. And, you know, at the last conference, we had someone from Australia that attended the conference. And, you know, to listen to them, to be able to share, and to think that she got up at 3 o'clock a.m. every morning to attend our conference and then to work. You know, only an Al-Anon would do that, because the program is so important to us, and because we just love it. You know, once you get into service, and it's like, once you get the bug, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to give back. And that, for me, being in service helps give back what I have received. And I'm never going to be able to give it all back, but I'm going to give back what I can. I'm willing to help people. And, you know, the questions that you had give me some thinking to do, but I'm very grateful that I was able to do this, Maureen and the committee. And I thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. Great share. I'm glad you can make it tonight as well. And don't forget, if you have questions for Margaret or Pam or any of our speakers, to send a private chat to Mike. And let's see, you can make sure that he knows who it's for, or if it's for all the speakers. So yeah, Mike just waved his hand. So you can private chat him with any questions. So our final speaker for tonight is Flo Ann. Flo Ann is our fearless leader of this committee, and she's the one that kind of spearheaded it. So I'm looking forward to hear what she has to share tonight. So Flo Ann, if you'd like to unmute yourself and begin your share.
Thanks, Maureen. I don't know about fearless. So anyway, my name is Flo Ann, and I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. My home group is the Wednesday Night Keep It Simple group. We meet at 6 o'clock at the Serenity Club in Sierra Vista. So if you're ever down south and headed towards Mexico, I guess, please stop in, give us a visit. Before I start, I wanted to first thank you, Maureen, for asking me to speak. My heart is pounding. This always scares me, but it has really been an absolute pleasure serving with you over the last year. We've grown so much over the last year, so it's fun to have like a sister in recovery to walk through this with. I am the behind the scenes committee chair for Turbocharge, and it does seem kind of fitting that I let you know what I've learned in service, because this has been a long service position. So I'm glad that I'm doing this near the end, though, because there has been quite a few times during the past year that I have felt so uncomfortable that I wanted to bolt. That's my default. I run from all things uncomfortable. But however, I have learned that in Al-Anon, that unless I'm in a situation where my safety is at question, or if I'm facing abuse, that leaning into the discomfort actually turbocharges my recovery, hence the name, right? I've never learned an amazing thing on the other side of something easy. It just doesn't happen that way. Every great thing that I have ever learned has always come out on the other side of very uncomfortable situations. So when I pitched the idea to the area and volunteered to chair the committee for an entire year, I had made a promise to myself that, one, I wanted to learn how to be more graceful in difficult conversations. It's not one of my strong suits. It doesn't come natural. I have to practice at it. And I wanted to be able to hear differing opinions without taking it personal. I'm well known for, instead of hearing your opinion, I hear that my opinion's wrong. And that's not always the truth. It's always, you just have a differing opinion. So there is one thing that I can guarantee when participating in service, and that is that we get ample opportunities to practice the things we want to learn. So thank you. Maureen has given me a couple of questions to focus my talk, but when I was listening to the end of the reading, that what lessons have you applied, you know, that you've learned in service that you've applied to aspects of your life, I kind of want to focus on that, because that one really, I think that is like the spirit of what this workshop is all about. One of my most favorite, you know, behind the scenes, nobody really sees it, jobs was the literature coordinator for my home group. I mean, it's just such a simple job. You order the books and you make sure that they're out in when the meeting happens. It's really a no fuss kind of position. But I was terrified to start it because, you know, what if I do it wrong? What if I order the wrong books? What if I put them in the wrong place? What if I, put them on the table wrong? What if you don't like what I do? You know, we spin all this stuff up. And it was my first experience with people actually trusting me to just do whatever I wanted to do. I'd ask all these questions. They'd be like, just do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. And I'm like, you people are not helping me. But I gave it a shot. I tried it the way that I wanted to do it. And wow, it worked. People were saying, hey, Florian, good job. And I hadn't heard that in a really, really long time, right? I had been accused of so many things by my qualifier, my alcoholic, and been told that I was horrible and the reason for his drinking. And I felt this big coming into Al-Anon. And so to have someone pat me on the back and say, good job. Oh my God. You know, it felt so, it was like a relief, you know, that I'm not this horrible person that he makes me out to, to be. It had been a very long time since anybody had said that. So it was a great start, and it really hooked me into service for sure. I've also been, probably, if there was another service position that I've really learned some great valuables, inside and out, would be when I was a group rep. I've been a group rep at many different meetings over the course of years that I've been in Al-Anon. And pretty much the job is you're entrusted to go to a meeting, take some notes, bring back the information. There's the job. It's really not that complicated, although we're all like, oh, I don't want to lead the group. It's really not leading the group. It's just bringing back information. What I found challenging about being a group rep was facilitating discussions among the unwilling. You start talking about group conscience, and everyone's like, oh God, group conscience. Do we really have to have one of those? And yeah. Yeah, you do. Sorry, adulting sucks, but sometimes we have to do, the hard things. Sometimes we have to do the business and get down to it. So I had some considerable challenges with inflicting a group business on my group, because people didn't necessarily warm up to it or want to do it. I think a lot of it has to do with my issues, with the group, is conflicting opinions really, they scare me. They absolutely terrify me. But you know what? I have to be the adult. I have to push through those things and bring the helpful information that every single group needs. So I want to try making it fun. Like cleaning the house and doing laundry and weeding the garden. I don't know about you. Maybe you like that kind of stuff, but to me, it ranks right up there with colonoscopy and root canals. No, I just don't want to do it. I really don't want to do it. And I really didn't want to fight through everybody's rolling eyes and didn't want to hear the information and whatnot. And so I'm like, how can I make this fun? How can I make this fun? So instead of bringing every single piece of information that I was given to a meeting and dumping it on them like this big fire hose and they got a drink out of it kind of deal. I would just, every meeting, it was one thing. And I would try to make it, a little lighthearted or whatnot. That one thing that happened, one thing that I really liked, one thing that was really cool about going, one thing. And I could do the one thing until it was the next time to go get more information. And they got used to being able to hear something that was going on at assembly, something that was going on at AWSC. And lo and behold, people weren't upset about going to group conscience anymore because they weren't being bombarded with all this. We got to do fun stuff like public outreach coordinating, let's do a picnic, let's do a workshop, that kind of stuff. And all the business stuff was just left to the one things during the meeting. I think that was a really great kind of add to it. But at first I was just terrified. So that was a really good one. So it tells me that I can bring the lighthearted in and make it, I don't have to make it so rigid. I don't have to follow the rules, you know, like whose rules am I following? I always have to ask myself, whose rule book is this? Because a lot of times I have all these self-inflicted rules and beat myself up terribly. Let's see, I have also been a DR. And hey, you want to learn about conflict resolution and difficult conversations. If you're not good at that and you want practice, DR is a really good place to practice that one. I got to learn about conflict management and having all those difficult conversations day in and day out with that position. Because as a DR, I found out there's like three main things that you do. You coordinate the groups to do public outreach. You make sure your meeting list is up to date so that your people can get to the meetings. And you're the first link of service between the group reps in the area. So you're the first people they go to when they're trying to work out the problems inside of their group. Well, first of all, it kind of itches a character defect of mine, like, ooh, let me solve your problems kind of thing. And I have to practice reining that character defect in, but it also helps me to listen and ask questions and point towards the book. And then they publish this great little conflict resolution kit. And if you don't have one, go buy one. If anyone knows the number for that, I think it's K7 or K9 or K, I don't know, K something or other. Somebody post that in the chat, because every single human that has any interest in service needs that conflict resolution kit. It gives you really great tips on how to walk through a difficult conversation, how to walk through conflict. Another good thing I learned is being a DR is that every answer that you could possibly have about conflict is in the service manual, believe it or not. It may be hidden and disguised as group talk, but really, honestly, if you're looking at the principles of what is in that book, it absolutely tells you everything. You can use it to solve problems with your spouse, with your friends, with your family, everything. It's not just Al-Anon family groups. Whoever wrote it, whoever put those principles together is really, they have, what do you call it? Been inspired, tremendously inspired. So let's see, what else have I done? I took some notes. Oh, I know, I've totally missed out on the best learning experience from being a treasurer. Oh, good Lord. So I was a treasurer of a home group and I had to have that difficult conversation because I had lost the treasure. And here where I'm talking about, I'm a person who cannot stand doing things wrong and I cannot stand admitting when I'm wrong and I am terrified to make a mistake. And I've lost $150 of the group's money and I had to go have that difficult conversation. Oh, not good. It was absolutely terrifying. I walk into the room, my face is flush, I'm shaking, I'm sweating. I tell them I lost the treasury. And they're like, oh, anyone got an envelope? And so somebody pulls out an envelope out of their purse, like, here, use this. We'll get you another pouch or whatever. Nobody yelled, nobody screamed, nobody called me names, nobody told me I was doing it wrong, nothing. And holy crap, 3 months later, I found the treasury. It was underneath the seat of my car. We used it to buy a book, a whole case of Al-Anon Faces Alcoholism magazines, made a public outreach campaign out of it. But it was a huge learning experience in service. It tells me that I can make a mistake. The punishment that I received in an alcoholic home was unfair, was unhealthy, and not what healthy humans do. And so it gave me the courage to try new things going into service, because I learned that I could try new things and nobody's going to hold my feet to the fire. Nobody's going to punish me when I get it wrong. They'll love me through it. They'll absolutely love me through it. I've also been an area secretary, a different state. not here in Arizona. I've only been here for 2 years. And in the state that I come from, which is Michigan, there's only one area secretary. Group records is actually a coordinator position. And take notes, you know. And I've learned that in that one, that other people's opinions are none of my business. That was a great lesson. Still is a great lesson. Every day, that's a good lesson. You know, I was trusted to do the job, but there's always at least one member that's in the middle of learning how to let go and let God that want to come and tell you how to do your job, you know. And I've learned to accept those suggestions as just that. They're just suggestions. Thank them for loving me enough to want to help me. And encourage them to stand for the position when it becomes empty, when it's time to do it, you know, to vote for the next panel. I also got practice, recognizing passion, because passion in my twisted brain looks a lot like anger, and I can get those screwed up. And, an assembly in AWSC with all those differing opinions, they can sometimes get a bit spirited. And conflict was very scary for me. And the very first assembly made me want to run for the hills because there was a lot of spirited conversation, but I had to practice being calm in the face of passion. And in doing so, that's kind of allowed me to see reality instead of the letting the fear grab a hold of me and having me flee back into that diseasy default mode that I tend to run into when I'm hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. But that was a great opportunity to practice. Every service position is a great opportunity to practice. And that all my sponsees will tell you that my thing is practice, 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 practice. You're not going to get it right the first time. You probably won't get it right the 20th time. But you know what? It's not about getting it perfect. It's about practice, because practice makes progress. That job and many of the other jobs taught me to plant my feet and not run from uncomfortable situations, because I learned so much on the other side of them. Possibly my absolute favorite position has been conventions and workshops. And I know I'm running up against time, but it brings me to this turbocharge. Turbocharge has been absolutely my favorite position as of yet. It has offered me lots of practice, because I said I wanted to come in to have practice with difficult conversations, and I have. I've had to wanted to have practice with hearing other people's opinions that differed from mine and be okay with it, and I've had lots of practice with those. We have practiced conflict resolution, being compassionate with one another, loving each other unconditionally, and best of all, leaning in and planting our feet. There has been many challenges along the way, but on the other side of that, I'll be forever grateful for the trust that you all had in us to keep this workshop going. My committee members have worked through some growth spurts as well, and it's been a pleasure to be a part of that, because it's great practice to sit and to lean into someone doing that. I'm relatively new to Arizona. Next month, I'll be here all of 2 years. My sponsor asked me what's next. What's on your list? And I'm thinking I'm probably going to stand for District 5 DR because I really love that position, and I really do want more practice with conflict resolution and difficult conversations. They're not easy for me, but it is definitely something that I want to practice. So I'd also love to put together a bid for convention coming to Sierra Vista. So Sonia said she'd help me with that. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And upcoming in the next, 30 days or so, I don't remember the date, and it's kind of a spoiler alert, Clem's putting out a concepts workshop, which you'll hear about later on. But to keep my program vibrant and alive, I always want to turbocharge, my recovery by challenging myself and serving in Al-Anon. I've been able to take these skills and be better at my job, be a better team lead, be a better supervisor, be a better wife, be a better friend, be a better family member. Instead of being the instigator of drama like I used to be, others come to me and say it's because I'm so calm. I sometimes look behind me to see if they're talking about somebody else, because after so many years in the program, I can't believe the massive changes that have been made in my life. Al-Anon's given me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. It has taught me to have courage to change the things I can, and given me the tools to figure out the difference. Thank you again, Maureen, for asking me to speak. It's been another growing experience to summarize what I've learned. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Floanne. It was great hearing from you. I think let's go ahead and take a few minutes to, or a minute or so, to thank all our speakers again. And let's see. So I think now it's time to turn this over to Mike, our moderator for tonight, for the question and answer session. And just continue. If you come up with a question, go ahead and private chat Mike, and he'll try and get them all in. So I guess I will turn it over to you, Mike. Thanks again, everybody, for being here tonight.
Thanks, Maureen. And thanks again to the three speakers. Those were some really great shares. Thank you for saying yes when asked to speak on this topic as well. And we have got a few questions, both for each speaker individually and for all three. If you can keep your responses brief, like a couple of minutes or less, so we can answer as many questions as possible. And if you're on the phone and you have a question, you can use *9 to raise your hand to let me know, and I'll call your name so you can unmute. So the first question I have received is for Pam. And the question is, what do you mean by spiritual sandpaper? That is something that the person who asked the question had never heard before. Actually, a couple people were asking that question. So Pam?
Okay. So I had an opportunity to have a sponsor who used that term with me. And of course, it's not necessarily from Al-Anon literature. I don't know where she got it from. And it's when you come up against someone who, I guess, rubs you the wrong way or is abrasive. And in the situation where I was learning to pray for that person or meditate surrounding that, you know, particular person almost daily, because I felt like I knew ahead of time that this person had a real dominant personality, and she became involved in a position that was closely linked to mine. And I thought, oh, this is going to be so cool because I'm going to grow this experience for sure. And I did. You know, I grew to be able to go to her and ask questions. I didn't feel like when she'd sometimes make amends to me for being controlling, I didn't even take it that way sometimes, all because of, I think it's like the spiritual sandpaper idea is when you pray and you begin to allow God into the picture, it kind of smooths out the rough edges, I guess is the way to put it. And so it was just a learning curve, you know, that I guess I had never encountered that. And I was kind of hoping that it wasn't going to happen, because I'd had a lot of dominant personalities in my GR position. I used the conflict resolution card there, but I didn't have that issue so much, you know, as we had talked before about where people were glaring and more difficult personalities. I had that more of the experience when I was the GR and the saddle pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that. The next question was for Margaret, and it's how can I pass on the support like I have received to others who want to get involved in service?
Wow. I really try to do that, but we still have problems getting people to fill positions. The way I pass it on is try to encourage people to take positions and to show them that they're not alone and that we're all here in the same place and that we are here to help each other and to encourage each other to do the best job that they can. That there's no right or wrong, just do what you can. If you have questions, please ask. Because when I came in the program, I didn't know how to ask questions because I was so afraid. And that's something else that the program's given me, is that I'm not alone in this. And the more questions I ask, the clearer things become. And if I get in a position where I'm not sure what I'm doing, I ask someone who's been through that or did that job, and I take a big breath and I think, wow, I wish I would have thought of that sooner, you know, or I would have asked that question sooner.
Right. Thank you, Margaret. Floanne, we have a question for you as well. So what was your greatest fear in accepting a service position? And how did you work through that fear to get to a more comfortable and accepting level to that?
Oh, my greatest fear is doing it wrong. That's with any position. Anytime I start a position, it doesn't matter how long I've been in Al-Anon, that is always my fear, is doing it wrong. But then, you know, I've been in Al-Anon a few 24 hours, and I don't think there is a wrong. You know, there's some guidelines to what, you know, they'd prefer, kind of thing. But in all honesty, you know, my best effort is good enough. And sometimes it's, you know, out of the park, and sometimes it just gets, you know, the position by and everything in between. How do I get through that to being comfortable? Just rip the bandage off. There's really no secret to it. It's reminding myself that my higher power's got me, and just do it anyway. That's all I got.
Great. Thank you, Floanne. Here's another question for all three of you. And it's, what spiritual principles helped you gain a deeper understanding by participating in service? So which spiritual principles did you gain a deeper understanding of by participating in service? And Pam, why don't we start with you on this one, and then we'll go to Margaret and then Floanne.
Well, I was thinking about that earlier, and I was thinking that one of the things I think really that made a difference for me is to be able to detach with love in my, just in my family relationship. So because I'm, you know, supposed to be like letting people in service have their head and make their decisions for like their position, and not being trying to control them, and just let them do their thing. And, you know, if they have questions, they can ask that sort of thing then, and encourage them when they are doing their jobs. It started to help me take that into my personal life. So I have a daughter who has some issues with mental health, and it was drug related apparently. Anyway, this kind of like caused a big estrangement where I wasn't seeing her or my grandchildren based on the fact that she wanted that. And I think that was the first time that I really could let go and mind my own business and realize, you know, I was in fear for a while, but I was able to grow past it because I didn't have to stay there. I had grown in my understanding, I think, of detaching with love from the fact that we do that in service to a certain extent. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you. Margaret?
Wow. You know, when I think of spirituality, I always think of my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And when I brought him into my service, I found out how easy it was to let go of things that I did not need. And as long as my name is not in that sentence, I don't have to take that on. And I have learned that, you know, even those people who you disagree with, God is always there to help me stay at peace and to have the serenity that I need to work through whatever it is. But I just think of God every time when I think of spirituality, because I didn't have it when I came into this program. And today I have it because of this program and the other tools that I have been given through this program. And, as long as he's there and he's helping me, I can do just about anything. That doesn't always happen either, let me tell you, because we're all human. But, you know, it's a blessing that I look at that has given me a lot of strength in not only in my program, but in my life outside of the program. Thank you.
Thanks. And Floanne, same question for you.
Can you repeat it?
Sure can. Give me just a moment. What spiritual principles did you gain a deeper understanding of by participating in service?
I would say probably the biggest one is acceptance. And that's kind of the theme of this talk. Being able to accept people in the midst of their own learning experience can be very hard because somebody in the middle of their own learning experience is taking hostages, is there, they could possibly be inflicting harm on others. They could be causing a lot of collateral damage, and loving somebody through a learning experience is really probably one of the bigger gifts of this program. I don't have to be judge, jury, and executioner. I can accept people for who they are and love them anyway. And that's a gift of this program. That's not something I was born with. I'll pass.
Thank you to all three of you for answering that. I've asked Michelle White to speak for a couple of minutes on service and her lessons in acceptance. Michelle, you have 2 minutes.
Hi, everybody. Thanks to all the speakers tonight. I wasn't really planning to come tonight, but I'm really glad I'm here, and I've heard a lot that is helpful to me. In terms of acceptance and service, I want to start by saying that the way I have always liked myself the best is when I am really competent. When I am good at the thing I am doing, and other people see me being good at the thing I'm doing, and better yet, if they tell me I'm good at the thing I'm doing, I really, you know, that has been my source of self-esteem, one of them. And so in sort of a big spiritual ha-ha this year, I took on a service position that I am okay at. I am okay. I am super uncomfortable, and I heard a lot tonight about what it feels like to be uncomfortable, and I got some comfort in hearing how uncomfortable other people have been, because I am afraid of doing it wrong. I am afraid of getting yelled at. I feel like a fraud, and I am in this position. I am doing this job, and I am not able to just throw it back at somebody and go, you know what? Just kidding. No, this isn't really what I want to do after all. So I am growing through the challenge of having to sit with feeling less than fabulous every single minute in this particular position, and learning to trust that A, I will get better, and B, if I don't get better, it's probably still not going to be catastrophic. And that I have to sit with these weak spots of mine and kind of look at them and go, is that real? Is that real? Like this idea that I suck, is that real? It is, I think, maybe one of the things that people shy away from service, you know, that makes them like go, oh gosh, you know, I might be terrible. But as I've heard before, you know, I'm not alone in this. I have people I can call. I have a sponsor. I have all of you who can listen to me talk about this, and nothing's going to explode. right? I mean, that's really the big thing. And in my mind, things are frequently going to explode. So I really appreciate what I've heard here tonight. And that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Margaret, this next question is for you. Let's see if I can get it all right here. How have you found both acceptance and balance in terms of concept 8 with responsibility, authority, and delegation? How do you like that one? You want me to read it again?
Yes, please. I didn't know there was a test.
How have you personally found acceptance and balance in concept 8 in terms of responsibility, authority, and delegation?
Okay, just a minute.
You know, we had to give you the tough question, right?
Yeah. Get the kid from out of town. Yeah.
I'm so grateful that she got the question.
That's what I was saying too.
I think that I have learned through this program, through the people before me, for my sponsors, for those people who have been in here a long time, that, you know, this program works because of everybody in here and because of the steps, traditions, and concepts we've been given. And I think that, you know, for that acceptance, you know, I'm still thinking about this concept 8, that one thing I've been taught in service is that we have to give our trusted servants the ability to do their job. And for me, it's like being a GR and you go to an assembly and you think something comes up that you can't poll your group on. You have given them authority to make that decision. You believe in them. You have confidence in them. And, you know, I really do believe that this program teaches me that I really don't have authority over anyone except me, but that I don't have a clue if I'm even getting close to what people want here. But I believe that when we're given a position in service, I know that I am a trusted servant. And because I'm a trusted servant, I know that if people aren't around and I have to make a decision, I know that I am that trusted servant and I have that authority and God is with me. And with that in itself, it teaches me that everything will be okay. I hope that answers the question.
I think that was great, Margaret. That was really great. Floanne, the next question's for you is, can you talk a little bit more about how your trust level improved as you got more involved in service, and were there some specific kind of aha moments that really helped you get over some of those trust hurdles that you had?
As in people not trusting me or me not trusting them?
Yes and yes.
Of course. The answer's yes. Okay. So my first thing was that I didn't think anybody trusted me because my alcoholic said so. And of course I believed him over everybody else, which doesn't make any sense in hindsight, but was my truth walking in. So it was just practicing showing up, showing that I was trustworthy and being told I was trustworthy, because somehow or another, I just didn't believe it. Trusting others has been a whole different ball of wax. I had lost my ability to trust anybody else because of, you know, you couldn't trust any. They say, you know, how do you know an alcoholic is lying? You know, are their lips moving? You know, so it's all I heard was, you know, just lie after lie after lie. And like, how do you trust other people? And in service, you know, we don't get here because we're well. We get here because we're still struggling with alcoholism, the family disease. And some of us, I'm sorry, are not trustworthy when it comes to service. Like, okay, so we put on this workshop and we had a, you know, a program chair for each of the quarters. So every 3 months we swapped out the program chair and they get to pick the speakers and they get to pick the readings and they get to pick all that. And we had two of them walk out and decide that something else was more important or they just weren't getting their way and they left. And that makes it really hard to trust people when you know that some of us are just not trustworthy. But I've learned I always have a plan B. Trust but cover your ass. You know, it's one of those. So it's like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And one of the people that I really didn't think was going to be very trustworthy actually had a really great experience walking through 3 months as a program chair. She struggled a bit near the end because it was a little bit much for her, but to watch her grow through that was really exciting. And everyone kept coming up to me going, are you sure you want her to be the program chair? Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, she is rocking it. Let the girl go. And she did. She did a really great job. Some of us just need someone to believe in us when we come in here. We really just need somebody to rally and be our cheerleader and say, you can do this. And it's amazing what we can do when somebody rallies in our corner. So those are kind of the things I've done in regards to trust is trust, but always have a plan B. And then for me, it's just always try to, you know, do the next right thing and have a trustworthy lifestyle, if you will, is to show up what I meant to show up, to do what I say I'm going to do, and to try to remember to send out the reminder email. I forgot to do that for this one. Maybe didn't want to. It was Freud saying, you don't want anyone to hear your talk. Who knows? But, you know, try to be trustworthy. That's what I try to do. Thanks.
Thank you, Floanne. All right, Pam, I hope you have your When I Got Busy, I Got Better book handy. Or maybe you have it memorized, so you won't have to worry about this question. There we go. Do you remember anything specific in this book that helped you to be more accepting of service?
I don't know that I remember anything specifically about it. I think what was more the way that I felt like I benefited in terms of being accepting of service was watching others before me, knowing that they had been willing to make that commitment, some of whom were very shy, didn't have much self-esteem, and yet they overcame that. So and a lot of these stories, I think, are similar to that, you know, where they talk about, you know, fear of failure, you know, just all sorts of different kinds of things, fear of making a commitment, fear of success. And I think for me, what I did to personally overcome that fear of doing service was just that I allowed my higher power in to help grow me in that particular way, because those were some of the things that in the past I was unwilling to do because of self-will. And I was able to surrender that. And I think that's the way that I get to acceptance today, is just to surrender my self-will in order to, you know, get to the place where I can be more accepting of others, accepting of my own, you know, circumstances. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Pam. And I just want to mention that this little booklet, When I Got Busy, I Got Better, I kind of discovered it in the past year and a half. And after I got done reading it, I went, wow, this is something very important for me to read. And if you haven't read it, it doesn't take too long to get through, but it just had so many little gems in it. And I was so excited. I was going to see if we could maybe set up an ongoing meeting with it. But then when I heard that Floanne in District 5 were wanted to set up a workshop, I said, hey, count me in. And it, like Floanne says, it's been a great experience. I've learned a lot, and just hearing all the speakers has been really wonderful. So I highly recommend this little booklet. Let's go with one last question for everybody. So we'll start with Floanne on this one, and then we'll go to Pam and then Margaret. What has been your favorite service position and why?
Oh, I already said that one. Definitely this job. It has been really fun. 72 speakers coordinated to do this. The learning experience, the being able to walk through difficult situations. We had an incident back in April where a member shared something that had a couple of members out in the ether or whatever upset, and they took the message to the area, and then the area had a decision, and we've had a lot of conflict around that, and you know, all of us are all tied up in knots over what's going on, and to be able to walk through that with some grace and not be a complete freak like I would have in the past, it was just tremendous. This experience has been absolutely by far the absolute best experience yet. If you ever get the opportunity to be a part of a workshop, not necessarily a year-long one, this one is kind of large, not many of them are like that, but even a one-day one, totally worth it, because it's just something about working on a team that can really take your recovery to the next level.
Thank you. Pam?
Yes, so I've enjoyed being a district rep. There's some parts of it that I didn't like, but I think it's been the most I've grown in my program as far as dealing with conflictual relationships and that sort of thing. I think that I grew a lot, though, from being the GR in the tail end because of those dominant personalities. I was always wanting to keep the peace and be tolerant, and I didn't really know how to go about leading. And so that part in the service manual that Bill W. wrote about leadership was helpful to me. So that was a way that I grew again. And then I think one of my favorite aspects of DR and then my other position with being in a public outreach before was really something that I enjoyed a lot. And I still plan on pursuing more of, you know, carrying the message to people outside of our program so that they can find out about us.
Thank you, Pam. And Margaret, we'll let you close this question.
You know, for me, it was what is public outreach now used to be public information. And, you know, I love that job. And I love that job for the reason that you could spread that word outside of the program and that you were there to help professionals or whatever to get that word out, to go to health fairs, to go to the state fairs or whatever, and to be able to hand out pamphlets, whatever. And, you know, for whatever reason, that was the most comfortable I was with any job that I had. And it was so enjoying and so rewarding to be able to get that information out there. And, you know, our public outreach, our district public outreach person, you know, we had a deal where we gave books to libraries. And, you know, I love doing that because you're still spreading the word, but you're not stuffing it down someone's throat. But I also think that DR was probably, I learned more from that job. And I got more confident with my program. And I think I learned to deal with more people that way than any other way, and to be able to allow people to disagree. And if they're going to get mad, they're going to get mad, but I don't have to stop them from doing that. And I am able to let them, I was able to let them continue to do what they were going to do but to keep peace within the group. And, you know, sometimes today you still have to do that. And because I'm delegate now in the meetings, everybody looks to me, oh, well, Margaret's here. She can answer that one, you know. And, you know, and that's okay. Because today, if I can't, I just say, look, I don't have the answer right now, but I can get it for you. And, but, you know, being the DR is, was probably my best learning curve as far as dealing with people. Right. And it helped me a lot when I got to the area, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Margaret. And thank you, Pam. And thank you, Floanne. Great questions from our audience and participants, and wonderful, insightful answers. We're almost out of time. So Maureen, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, let's give everybody another round of applause. Thank you. It was great shares tonight. I am so glad you can all come be with us tonight. So what I wanted to let you guys, remind you guys, is that we will have the three more speakers on this topic on Saturday, August 21st at 10 o'clock a.m. Phoenix time. And we are going to, it'll be the same topic, rewards in all our aspects of our life, a lesson in acceptance. And let's see, the speakers are going to be Judy Z from Nebraska, Donna E from Montana, and Lori K from Montana. So I hope to see you guys all there on Saturday the 21st. So I'm also going to go ahead and close with the Al-Anon Declaration. Thanks for hanging in there with us tonight. Let it begin with me.
When anyone, anywhere reaches out for help, the hand of Al-Anon always be there.
And let it begin with me.
And let it begin with me.